Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. This one is the Hawkeye Season 1 special, where Ian Kerner and I are going to sit down and talk all things Hawkeye. We went into it knowing that Jeremy Renner was going to get his own Disney Plus show, and now we come out of it with so much more. There's lots to talk about. There will be major, major spoilers in this one, not just for Hawkeye, but probably for Spider-Man No Way Home. So if you haven't seen the all six episodes of Hawkeye Season 1, and if you haven't seen Spider-Man No Way Home, I would beware this episode because there will be spoilers. That being said, this is Geekscape, and let's go. Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host, and this one is a Hawkeye special all about Season 1 that finished up about a week ago on Disney Plus. If there's like a weird echo to my audio, it is because I'm in Austin without my normal microphones, and I'm in like this back house my parents have now. It was not here when I was in high school. This was all cedar trees, and they built it. And I guess that's what happens when they all leave the nest. But we took about a week to compile our thoughts on Hawkeye Season 1, and that week kicked my ass. I know I did some traveling, but here in Austin, the cedar allergies have been kicking my ass, and I got so sick this past weekend with the allergies that I started playing the game called Cedars or COVID. Don't know if I had Omicron or not. I've taken multiple tests because I'm about to get back on a plane to Los Angeles tomorrow. Happy to report, I do not have the Rona, okay? The Omicron didn't get me. So that's good. We went through the whole Geekscape live show. We went through Spider-Man No Way Home. We went through multiple kind of social events, and we did not get sick. So knock on wood, you're going to be able to hear this, especially with my lack of a really good microphone. And keep those prayers up that everything turns out all right. Okay, let's start this up. This is the Hawkeye Season 1 special. There will be spoilers, like I said, and Big Ginks is already ready. He's going, ay, ay, sunroom, amazing. And Jim says, bro, have not been this excited for a show since Maroon 5 concert, bro, and happy to hear your swab turned out okay, bro. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, let's all be safe out there. All right. We're going to be talking Hawkeye Season 1. This one ended up having a lot more than what I expected going into it. We were like, cool, I'll watch a Hawkeye Kate Bishop series. And it turned into so much more. So to help me wrap that all up and put a little bow on it before we move on to Book of Boba Fett or whatever Ian and I review more, review next, it's going to be Morbius. Here's Ian Kerner. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, it'll be Morbius before Book of Boba Fett, won't it? Because Book of Boba Fett won't be done yet.
Hugh and I are going to be doing this Morbius dance together. Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. As I've been sitting with the finale of Hawkeye, and obviously, I mean, your spiel, I mean, it's going to be spoilers galore, of course. You know, so, I mean, let's get right into it. You know, I was so excited for that Kingpin reveal, and I do love it so much, particularly if you're going to do the Echo character. Having said that, I'm really thinking a lot about the ideas that seem to be floating out there, some ideas about, you know, maybe it wasn't originally going to be Kingpin. You know, maybe Kazi would have been the big bad because, you know, in the comic he was, you know, the clown, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I'm wondering, did making a Kingpin detract from the story? Did it take it away from the heart of what the original comic was?
Well, okay. So I don't know if we could have been married to the original comic. Heidi's trying to get into the room right now. And like, I have the key in my pocket.
No, I'm not going to let her in.
So she's just going to have to wait. If y'all are watching this on video. Yeah, that's right. We're free on Facebook. Twitch and YouTube video. So yes, I'm glad that they didn't stick to the original, run, because I think we needed a little bit more MCU in this one. I don't know if the original Fraction run would have.
Well, look kind of obviously had enough meat. The Atlanta connection it was a huge MCU connection. So, yeah, I don't know.
But
I
mean, we also have to set up something that the original series didn't have to set up because it was done in Daredevil. We have to set up the Echo storyline, and that is a Kingpin story. So. Yeah. As much as like we talk about Wilson Fisk coming in as a kind of I think you're suggesting maybe a distractionary main big bad that takes those last two episodes and kind of throws them in a different direction. I think that is set up for the Echo series. I love the fight with Kate that he has in episode six, really pushes towards the Echo series. Well,
did you come out of this feeling, God, I need an Echo series? Because I did not. Other than, what happened to Kingpin?
There's two things I want to see in the Echo series.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kingpin blind, which is how he survived the gunshot in the original Daredevil run.
Yes, in the comics, she shoots him in the head, and he's temporarily blinded. But again...
I also wanted to see her take some paint and put the handprint on her face from the comic book.
Kingpin blind means something in the context of Daredevil. You know? Yes. I don't know that it means as much... if we're not getting that. Now,
let me argue with that real quick, because this is where we get into spoilers for No Way Home. I think we're going to see Matt Murdock in an Echo series.
Rumor I'm hearing is we're going to see Matt Murdock. Yeah. And this is a rumor that I loved, okay, without an actual...
And Heidi finally managed to get into the house. Sorry, Gatekeepers. Heidi finally managed to get in the house.
Hi, Heidi.
And she's gonna have to say hi.
Hi, Ian.
Hi.
Okay. Thank you, Gordon.
So here's the thing, and in an odd way, this seems almost reminiscent of how they've handled the Hulk. Now, Daredevil, they do have the rights, but it's an interesting idea that instead of getting another Daredevil series, the rumor I heard is Daredevil's going to pop up in She-Hulk, going to pop up in Echo, going to pop up in Moon Knight. Basically, all these series that are coming out, which, listen, it's New York, right? He's going to pop up in
Street Level series, yeah.
Yeah,
good.
Which I love that.
And you're saying that there can't actually. You're saying there can't actually be a Daredevil Disney Plus show because there's over at Netflix.
I mean, in Hulk, there couldn't be. But I'm just wondering if there's an intent to put more distance. Because look, let's just talk about the corporate reality. Corporate reality is this,
Corporate reality, yes.
Yes, Disney was a content provider, okay? Disney Plus didn't exist. They made this Netflix deal. They had these shows, okay? Tail end, they created Disney Plus. Now, Netflix knew that, So it was a thing. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Those shows getting canceled was very much, it was this on both sides. Suddenly, Disney doesn't want to give Netflix, these great shows. And also, Netflix doesn't want to be promoting Disney's characters. Mm-hmm. So it just became this weird, that became a casualty of that. Now, where things stand, and I remember at the time we were going, okay, what's happening? It was the whole thing about 2 years before they had the rights. Well, okay, Disney has the rights back to the shows. What they do not have is the actual shows.
Right, okay? Those are going to live on Netflix. So
if Disney does a Daredevil show that directly references Netflix shows, which they can, but then if you want to watch those, you got to go and watch them on Netflix. And Disney doesn't want you to go on and watch them on Netflix.
Yes, and Sony isn't never going to put the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies or any of their Spider-Man movies on Disney Plus. I had a friend who was like, "When do we get No Way Home on Disney Plus?" And I was like, "I hate to tell you, pal, you're never going to get those on Disney Plus. You're going to get those on Crackle or something Sony owns." Have fun.
That's not necessarily true because Sony doesn't have
Civil War's on there.
Sony doesn't have their own service, so because they don't have their own service,
that's all going to be VOD stuff or Amazon.
But they can have Windows on Disney Plus. They're never going to live on Disney Plus, indefinitely, unless Disney buys Sony. But they definitely can show up.
Give it 5 years.
Yeah, listen, I've heard those rumors before, so no joke. I mean, there have been literal conversations about what it would cost to buy Sony is like not much more than what it costs to buy Spider-Man from Sony. So why not just buy the whole fucking thing? But anyway,
yeah. I think the extra property would be James Bond.
Yeah,
and you got it.
No, it's James
because
Bond.
Because Men in Black.
James Bond.
Men in Black did not add the value. MGM and
Amazon has that.
Oh, then there you go, Ian.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. I'll argue that Kingpin does not detract from the series. It sets up the Echo series. And if Kingpin's a part of it and Charlie Cox is a part of it, I'm looking forward to an Echo series.
Make no mistake. I love that. I love all of that. And the fact that, you know, the juxtaposition of Spider-Man No Way Home coming out, you know, right the same week is eerie. I mean, it's just, it works out so well. And I have to say it's eerie because, you know, you want to say, oh, they planned it. Well, the thing is, these shows got shuffled around. There was a lot that went on. It's possible.
Hawkeye
was
sure
shuffled. Yeah, so shuffling what originally was, but Kingpin wasn't always in it. So maybe they really did plan it that well. You know, if you think about it, they did. We talk about COVID delays, but even the actual timing of when it actually aired, you know, if you remember, like, early in the year, we thought we were getting Marvel shows every single week without break, and then they took a break. So I think that at that point, they did plan it. They didn't always plan it, but this year they planned it.
And Vincent D'Onofrio said that he got the call from Kevin Feige in January, February to become a part of the Hawkeye series.
This year they did that. It
and that's a series that was going to start production last year.
Yeah.
And it got pushed to like March.
Yeah, no, it definitely became a different thing. And that's fine. And listen, that's true of the Marvel stuff all the time. I mean, you know, people always like to talk about reshoots. And even it's been going on lately with Doctor Strange. Reshoots don't mean a movie's bad. It just means they came up with some ideas to make it better. They saw reactions to things. And they had ideas. And, it's an organic process. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know?
Well, let's take things back to episode one because we're not focusing on – well, we're not focusing on Clint and Kate, and that's what this series is about. I think the introduction to Kate was awesome. I think the college stuff was great with the destruction of the bell tower and her having to kind of like run to New York and be like, oops, I can't hang around the college campus that much anymore. But before that, I thought the introduction of her as a child was great with just the kind of like Rear Window montage across all of her history and all of her medals and things is like a young kid.
Well, let me say this, you know.
In the Battle of New York stuff, if that's what you're going to touch on. I like the Battle of New York stuff.
Well, I actually want to go back to comic book origins and just talk about the differences, you know, because it's always the natural place to start, right? You get introduced to a new character in the MCU that's existed for a while in the comics. And, you know, Kate Bishop was always an interesting character in the sense of normally when you have the new version, whatever, you know, there's a mentor thing, there's some connection. Hawkeye was straight up dead. In the comics, Disassembled that happened, which was an Avengers storyline where Scarlet Witch first went crazy, and she straight up killed Clint. He's dead, he's gone. And Young Avengers comes along, and all of a sudden you have this Kate Bishop, who's this character is around, and you know, it's like she's a girlfriend character, and next thing you know, she just happens to be this great archer, and she's the new Hawkeye, just straight up. You know, she just decides she's Hawkeye now. You know, she's a fan, whatever, she's good at it. And what was interesting way back when with Young Avengers is she's the one without powers who just right away, she's super smart, she has money, but she knows how, she's like a natural leader, she knows how to get things done, you know? And she just right away was this great character, you know? So I loved Kate Bishop. And, you know, she's bouncing around for a while. Over the course of her being around, Hawkeye comes back. Okay, he's brought back to life,
Was that part of that wasn't part of Secret Invasion that he was brought back, though, was it? That was Mockingbird for sure was brought back during Secret Invasion, but he was already back by that point.
Yes. Great.
I don't remember how Clinton came back after No More Avengers. Avengers Disassembled.
Yeah, Disassembled, she killed him. It's a reality thing. Which reality reset brought him back?
Right. Okay, so Clint's back, and then you have the Fraction series.
Right. So that's the thing. And the Fraction series is where they first interact. and develop their relationship. And it's funny because MCU, it's way more straight up mentor. Okay, the comics it wasn't.
Inspiration.
Yeah, yeah. It in the comics, you know, what's interesting, and it was one of those quirky things. You know, by the way, that comic book series comes out when the MCU already exists. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so that was
the nascent MCU, thing. But yeah, that's a 10-year-old series.
Yeah, yeah. So, but still, I mean, Hawkeye exists, right? And wasn't quite, you know, we got Age of Ultron and this whole idea that Hawkeye has a family. And look, I mean, you know, as we all know, early MCU was strongly influenced by Ultimate, the Ultimate Universe, which was separate at that time, right? So it was a very different take. The idea that Hawkeye was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, straight up assassin, okay, and then the family, all that stuff comes from Ultimate, you know? And so it was a very different take. And, you know, over time, while first the regular 616 Marvel got influenced by Ultimate and took some aspects of it, like Captain America's uniform stuff, eventually it all came together, you know? But they never made Captain America the total fucking asshole he was in Ultimate.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a fascist, right?
That's good for Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't do the same Hank Pym.
No.
That wasn't a good look for Hank.
No. Or and even Hulk, just straight up eating people.
Right. The Ultimate, I have all my Ultimate comics here in Austin, and I do like those Ultimates, the Millar books. I thought
they're fun.
Great job on the
S-Men. They're fun. They're all over the top, and they were great for the time. But anyway, so Hawkeye, you know, what going into this series, knowing they were going to adapt this Fraction run, which is one of my favorite runs ever. I mean, it's the reason why I have both this T-shirt and I actually have the less worn white T-shirt with the target. You know, because like it was the David Asia art of that was just, you know, always having those targets pop up, which is amazing, right? But I mean, it was just the art, the writing. I mean, it's such a fun series, and of course, we're gonna get into this, you know, about, you know, the tracksuit bros, you know, tracksuit mafia. I mean, all that stuff is just so much fun. But you know, it's so much about that series about what does Hawkeye do when he's not an Avenger? Because Hawkeye's the guy in the comics that, like, it's like he's career Avenger, right? Like, you know, Hawkeye starts out, and it's very interesting.
He's
Hawkeye's
career origins, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Not in the comics, no.
No, I was talking about the MCU, yes. Go, continue.
MCU, yes. MCU is like Ultimate, right?
But yeah, but once he's a reformed criminal, Marvel, he's a reformed criminal, and he becomes...
He's not S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, he wasn't even a criminal. I mean, look, he was a carny, and he got the trick thing, and Black Widow actually dupes him into stealing from Stark. It's once. One time he does it, he gets caught, and Tony realizes that, you know, he's not a bad guy and straight up, you know, recommends him for Avengers membership, you know, Cap's Kooky Corte in Avengers 16.
And Jim Paganelli says, Widow and Hawkeye were introduced together in the second Ultimate storyline. Don't think we saw his wife and kids until the third series.
Yes.
Where they just killed everybody.
Yes. Is that the one where Jeff Loeb
showed up with Joe Mad and just started killing people?
It's straight up introduced his family just to kill him. That's absolutely what happened.
That's where I started putting it.
I'm saying, but in the 616 comics, you know, Hawkeye goes from he's the carny, you know, and he's always blustery, but, you know, and basically he's an Avenger pretty quickly. But yes, there's the idea he was a criminal for a minute, you know. He was trained as a carny by Swordsmaster, who's a bad guy. And that's important to acknowledge from this series. So Jacques Duquesne, you know, was part of the carny life, you know. The one thing we don't see in this series, we haven't seen yet, is Barney, Clint's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They might not do it. I was waiting for when in episode 4 when Jack sees Clint around the corner and tells him not to move and puts the sword to his throat. I thought there was going to be an acknowledgement that they had a shared history. That wasn't in here, but we got to talk about Tony Dalton being like such a good casting choice, and he did a great job. He was so funny, and the way they redeemed him. You think he's a villain, and then in episode 6, the way that he's like heroic, I think he's hilarious.
Well, which is also interesting because Swordsmaster, in a very non-PC, absolutely does not work anywhere near the year 2021. way Swordsmaster becomes an Avenger, and he's terrible. I mean, he's only Avenger for a minute, but he's like
3D man.
If you go back to those comics, he's a sexist ass. He's just terrible. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, the idea that like he doesn't really do anything to redeem himself, and suddenly he's an Avenger. It's just it's mind boggling. But he was an Avenger, you know. And then in recent years, you know, with the whole Kotati thing, he was a bad guy again. But you know, whatever.
But was that even him when you think about it? Because he's reanimated plant matter at this point with the consciousness of the Swordmaster. We can't. I don't even know if we can get into the whole Kotati thing that happened in the storyline in the Marvel comics. That was messy, but I kind of liked that narrative.
We keep saying swordsman, we should say. But anyway,
swordsman, yeah. Right. I liked those comics, but it was very nasty. Messy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, back then, I mean, listen, it was a different time. But, you know, what's great is by putting him in this, I mean, again, Easter eggs are call-outs, right? You mentioned one that I totally missed. That there's a character mm-hmm. that's actually, you know, a call out to a character Bombshell, who's a villain from the 80s, a Hawkeye villain, you know?
Yes. And that's one of the LARPers. Yes, the blonde LARPer, Wendy Conrad.
And,
you know,
and that's the thing.
She's in the last three episodes.
Right. But the point of Bombshell. Easter eggs is they don't necessarily have to do the thing. It's just for people in the know to go like, oh, look, here's this thing. It's great that when you see him, you wonder, are they going to do that connection? You know, some people started theorizing maybe he's going to train Kate. You know, I mean, where this series went, I mean, I actually love because it sort of went to where beyond Fraction's run, you know, as it went on, you know, and Thompson picked up more of the Kate-centric with Clint being her, I don't want to say sidekick exactly, but more of, you know, the visiting character in her main series, you know, that they're still part of each other's lives. Very much part of each other's lives.
Yeah, it was a sweet ending. Jim says, for me, the show is the MCU show that hit the perfect New York sweet spot and made the court feel like made the city feel like a real character. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah, even though a Black Widow is hunting for you, you can walk around in broad daylight by yourself and have a nice stroll down to Grand Central Station and just hang out for a bit.
As Jim knows, and I knew, you know, the entire time I was watching the series, I knew I just got back from New York last night, and you know, I was there for last week, and just running around the city. And the best thing was, I got in off a red eye, and episode 6 was up, and my wife was taking a nap, and I put it on as I sat there, you know, out of my amazing suite that I had in Soho, you know, with the window open, just looking out, watching that episode. It was fantastic. You know, just because it just, the show was just feels so New York.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to say, they did a much better job of that than you ever really, personally, than I felt in any of the Netflix shows. Even though they all took place there, I didn't feel it the same way.
Yeah, the Daredevil one's a bit midnight-ish. You know, it's a bit more of, you know, a backdrop, not so much a character. This one's definitely a character. I mean, they use it. But to segue, I don't think there are some characters in this that are not Easter eggs. We're talking about Yelena.
Absolutely.
She shows up like months after we all saw the Black Widow film, and she's a major character. And we knew she was going to show up. I mean, we thought she was going to show up because she was the tag at the end of Black Widow.
Yeah. And, you know, they said, you know, they tell us, I mean, I guess, I don't think they actually said it in episode one. I think it's more peripheral that you see. But so it's Christmas 2024 going into 2025. So it's two years after Endgame, right? Ish. And, you know, I remember thinking when I heard that, well, why? I didn't quite get it. And what we get in episode 5 when we find out that Yelena was blipped. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why that's relevant is so when she blips back, that's the end of Endgame. But we already know that she's been working for Valentina for a bit. Because the exchange that she has at the end of Black Widow and the tag at Natasha's gravesite tells us she has actually been doing this for a while. Which is set up in episode 5. Yes. What has to be supposed
to the intro to episode 5 in Yelena's blip is pretty awesome.
Yeah. We get her popping back into the same bathroom, and then it's, hey, go do this. And then what fits in between is the Black Widow scene, and she's clearly been working with Valentina for a while, so you needed that while. I felt that to me, is that's the reason why this isn't immediately after Endgame. This had to be a couple of years after, because she needed to have been back for a bit.
And it was also good to see her and another Black Widow carrying on after the end of Black Widow, where they're trying to free Black Widows.
Right. Well, we were told that's what they were doing, but we didn't see it. And so, by the way, perspective. So Black Widow takes place in 2016, after Civil War. Okay. Yep. Infinity War and the blip is 2018. So
there's your 5 years.
Natasha was on the run. Right. And with the Avengers as of the end of Black Widow, end of Civil War till Infinity War, that's where that's at. Yelena went off on the mission to save the Black Widow. So that's what she's doing. It's only been 2 years. You know, she blips for 5 years and comes back. And what's the point? You know, what's she doing? So they did a great job of giving us Yelena's whole filled in story over those years. So I thought that was interesting. And it speaks to why she would feel the way she would about Natasha. She didn't spend the time.
So I asked a
assume, by the way, that maybe they had some kind of way to communicate, but we could pretty much assume she didn't even see her again. That's it.
Right.
You know, and so, the Black Widow, and that was it. They never saw each other again.
So I asked a retired LA firefighter, when a building burns up or an apartment burns up, the city shuts off the gas. Yet Yelena made mac and cheese on that oven.
And I said to you when you sent that comment by text to me, do you know it wasn't electric?
Yeah. No, they shut that stuff off. They do not want it to blow up again. They shut it off. But here's what I said. She's a Black Widow. She has her means for making mac and cheese. If she can do a million things, she can make the mac and cheese. Okay, so Jim Paganelli said, oh, I'm sorry, my internet died for about 5 minutes. He got blipped for 5 minutes. Did you talk about Tony Dalton and how great he was as Jack Duquesne? And did Ian speculate where we might see him again? We talked about how great he was. We didn't speculate where we might see Sword.
Yeah, we didn't get there yet. We didn't get there yet. So, you know, this is an interesting thing. I read an article earlier today with the director talking about the idea of a season two, which, listen, there's so much room here. Because that's the thing. Where would we see him again? Where would we see Kate again? Where would we see Clint again, right?
Sure.
What I like about the end is the notion that wherever we see Clint again, maybe we see Kate, depending on when they put it. Again, I want to cite that 2 years. There's a version of events where we see Clint again in something taking place before this show. Mm-hmm. You know?
We've speculated on this show about his Champion series, too.
Well, wait a second, and I want to talk about that, but this is a good segue into something else. I'll talk about the arrows, okay? Because we finally got all these trick arrows. But with the trick arrows comes the question of, well, how's he really getting access? Clearly, he's gotten tight enough with, you know, whether it be Scott, I mean, it's not Hank, that he's getting Pym, you know, particles. Mm. That's not a casual thing, right?
Why wouldn't it be Hank?
Well, Hank just generally, you know, was curmudgeon.
doesn't
want to be involved in any of it.
Okay, so Scott's sneaking in some Pym particles, and we have some hilarious reasons. I mean, those are hilarious moments in the show, but where is he getting Stark tech after Tony's gone? Is he getting that stuff from Pepper? And we all have an Armor War series showing up. We do.
And that, by the way, that is a good question that it was actually something that for a moment bothered me in No Way Home. You know, I mean, you got Happy, but it was No Way Home made it really unclear to me what is happening with Stark.
Because they shut down Stark. The second we find out that Spider-Man, like they go in and the feds raided Stark Industries.
And is it that simple? I mean, is that the setup for Armor Wars? I think that's probably where we're going to get those answers, right?
Right. So you know? Pepper's, let's just say Pepper's running Armor Wars, or running Stark. Pepper's running Stark. And she and Scott are sending Pym particles and Stark tech over to Clint.
Yeah.
And we got ourselves Trick Arrows. What are your favorite Trick Arrows from the series?
I mean, look.
The Pinnacle ones?
The Pinnacle stuff I love, love, love. I love a good adhesive arrow.
The Freeze Arrow.
Freeze Arrow was very cool. I mean, just in general that they had them was just amazing. Mm-hmm. It's just so much fun, you know, and the use of them was great. You know, yeah. I love him, you know, teaching her little tricks because the idea, and I'll tell you, this is a really interesting thing, but, you know, I've been training Krav Maga for a number of years, and there was a time when I was, you know, more nascent in it, where I would think about like, oh, wow, how does someone just pick something up? You get to a certain level when you're an expert and someone just shows you something else, you know, when you're at a certain level, you could do it. So I'm just saying that the idea that Kate just suddenly picked up stuff that quickly, because she's already at such a great level of ability. It's not just natural ability, it's honed ability. You know, I mean, she's both. That he could just give her some pointers and it makes that big a difference.
Did you subtly hint at your Taskmaster?
No, I don't have a.
What about Echo?
A hard drive that goes in there.
You can witness someone's move and just immediately mimic it.
Not necessarily that easily, but after someone that trained to something for a long time, you have the ability to pick up variations on ability a lot easier, you know, than when you're a little bit more new to it. You know,
okay,
it's not something from my perspective that really was like, you know, unbelievable that she picked up that stuff so quickly. But you need the right teacher, you know? Listen, it's like talking about Batman going searching for teachers, you know? You get to a certain level and you want those extra teachers. It makes a difference. You know, it's like watching Kill Bill. It's like when you're already amazing, you have that other teacher can give you that next level thing.
So Ian, the Echo stuff. Did you enjoy the introduction of Echo in the series?
I thought Echo was done really well. I enjoyed it, but there was nothing about Echo that screamed, God, I want to see an Echo series. That's just me.
She didn't even use her Echo ability.
You didn't really have a sense. Which, by the way, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, that was the thing. Taskmaster, you know, going into Black Widow, I was curious to see how they do it. And I thought they did a good job within the MCU of it, you know?
Where she can program it, where she sees somebody doing it and it's digitally programmed.
Because in the comics, he's a mutant, right? So that was, it was an interesting idea.
Taskmaster is literally a mutant in the 616?
Yeah.
So he can be on Krakoa. He can just like walk through gates and stuff. Yeah. He's good to go.
Yeah.
Okay. I never knew Taskmaster was a mutant.
Yeah.
But here, Taskmaster's, she's technologically based in a female, but she's technologically based.
Right.
And so the computer scans your movement and then replicates it like programming. Echo has a similar power, but that one's based on training. Yes. And is tied into her to her being deaf. Well, and she's a great foil for Daredevil. It was brilliant for Brubaker to introduce her in Daredevil.
Well, what I was about to say to you, you know, there was this interesting idea years ago in Daredevil before the Echo introduction about Daredevil, Matt Murdock, and Elektra being like these once a generation, you know, natural ability people. That Matt, even absent the accident that took his eyes and heightened the other senses, was still that. You know, mm-hmm. He would have been this prodigy of a fighter. And then you throw that in, and yeah, he loses his sight, he gains the radar, you know, and one of the things that came with this idea was this idea that, you know, you didn't originally see it, but Miller introduced Stick, and later you come to find out Stick trained him. Stick trained him in how to use the senses. Interestingly enough, just this week, a comic came out, Wastelanders, which references the Old Man Logan time frame and Hawkeye. And in Wastelanders, Hawkeye, you actually saw it earlier in the original Old Man Logan, but Hawkeye went blind. But they actually show this idea that Daredevil becomes Stick and he trains him to blind. Yeah, it's really cool. But anyway, this idea that there are individuals, you know, you always have that thing. I mean, I don't know about you. I always feel this way. It's like, you know, when you have the non-powered people doing things that, you know, how could you possibly be doing it? It's always, you know, sort of strains credulity, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the fact that Echo is both deaf, and then with this, they actually threw in that, and she has a prosthetic, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is an impressive, absolutely.
Now she has a little bit of strength. She can use it as a weapon to push it, hit things with it. Jim Pagliarelli just came in and he said, Taskmaster, per Wikipedia, is not a mutant.
Oh, was it a mutant? Did I get that confused?
He injected himself with super primer, an elaborate modification of the adrenal steroid cortisol designed to unlock the mind's procedural memory potential. This enhanced Taskmaster's natural ability to absorb knowledge and instantaneously. Its ability is linked to his muscle memory, allowing Taskmaster to instantly replicate the physical movement of peak level humans. I didn't think he was a mutant because they've done a really good job in the current X-Men stuff of trying to include everybody who's a mutant.
Yeah.
And I have not seen him on Krakoa, and they've included some really bad bastards on Krakoa. In the current X-Men run, which is up and down. Some of the stuff is really great. Some of the stuff is, you know, it's X-Men. There's too many books. Jonathan will always argue that there's too many X books at any given time.
That's a different podcast, I think.
That's a different podcast.
Argument. I'm reading them all.
Dan Gilbert says, the Echo series would be cool, but give me that Misty Knight Colleen Wing spinoff first. And the Colleen Wing actress actually came out and said that when she was asked to do Matrix. No, when she was asked to do, what movie was she asked to do?
Shang-Chi.
She said no, because if I played that Asian character in Shang-Chi, that's a different character. I can never go back to Colleen Wing, and maybe Colleen Wing will return now that we've got Matt Murdock and the Kingpin back. Maybe those Netflix characters are getting
brought back. This is the thing, you know, they left a lot of dangling plot threads in those Netflix shows that happen to be things we really want to see. You know, I mean, look, we all talked about how Iron Fist season one was terrible. Season two was so, so much an improvement. Like, was it great? It was good.
It was good. You know,
there's a lot I really liked about it. But in terms of probably the most improved show I've ever seen.
It's night and day between season one and season two.
And by the way, I know people that like season one as bad as he was. You know, I mean, he's more the complaint than the show itself. The show itself is a little more, it's a standard thing, you know, there are aspects of it that are, you know, that are good. But yeah, you know, the fact that she has the Iron Fist at the end, huge. You want to see that. I think that the Luke Cage of it, they were kind of pushing him into sort of a little bit of a Kingpin role. You know, you want to see what they do with that. And he was a great, you know, great Luke Cage.
Power Man. Yeah. He is the number one.
Yeah, Mike Coulter.
I want to see Mike Coulter return as Luke Cage. That's what I want to see in my next cameo from the Netflix series. I want to see Mike Coulter return, and of course Jessica Jones. Like, let's get them all back properly.
By the way, Jessica Jones wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but I will tell you, Jessica Jones as a series is of all the most consistent. You know, you look at those. First of all, I think it's the only one that had the same creative team for the entire run. You know, and of course, that gives it such consistency and continuity, you know. But it's solid the entire time, you know. I think John, are you dying?
Sorry, I'm choking to death over here. Maybe the COVID came back.
Trying to get you.
I never had the COVID, but I had.
Hey, I had the COVID. Whatever.
I know.
Stop
it. COVID twice.
Maybe we don't know if the first time I had it or not. We're not sure about the first time. The second time, we know.
Okay. Dan Gilbert says, the villain from Jessica Jones, I'm guessing the Purple Man is what he's referring to. There were three seasons. Was so underutilized.
Well, it's interesting to say underutilized because he was in a great deal of the show. But sure. Listen, for me, you know... I would never have been complaining to have more of him, you know? I mean, David Tennant, you know, was amazing. So, but,
yeah, you know, I think anyway. That's why you want to see more of him is because David Tennant did such a great job.
Yeah, yeah. But
it was well written.
The point is, look, I don't think, you know, Finn Jones was universally the old casting not so great. Everyone else casting was so great, you know? Definitely like to see those characters come back. And, you know, I think what we're going to see with Daredevil and Kingpin is, I've said this to a lot of people, it's very easy to do the characters with the same casting. And there were no real plot threads dangling at the end of Daredevil that made you feel like you need to know what happened there. You know, like it keeps going and it's fine.
But Iron Fist and Luke Cage had dingling.
Iron Fist and Luke Cage have some big plot threads dangling, and that's problematic. You know, and referencing the Colleen Wing Misty Knight of it, it's tricky. You know, because well, listen,
we probably aren't going to get any more Punisher, which stinks because John Bernthal was perfect.
And he, yeah, it was great. Yeah, but honestly, these days,
yeah,
you're referencing the fact that it seems like they're trying to distance themselves from the character because there've been some things out in the world that people.
Appropriations of the character by fascistic forces,
yeah. So we'll see. Look, I'm a giant Punisher fan. I love the character. I love Bernthal in it. I love the series. Do I need a Punisher running around the MCU? I don't. It doesn't break my heart. We're getting Moon Knight, which is crazy, insane.
You're so excited about that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about Moon Knight. Moon Knight would be fun. Moon Knight's an odd one because, you know, you don't have a definitive, you know, comic run that you go, like, this is the one I want to see adapted. But speaking of, and having said that, I think we did kind of veer off Hawkeye, so to talk about it some more. You know, it was a great – the use of the Tracksuit Mafia in this series I think is phenomenal. I think they did a great job of bringing it in and just being so much better. Because that was the thing. The comic – and it was a fun comic for the fact that, like, these nobodies, you know? Hawkeye's just, you know, he's at this problem in this building, and the tenants having a problem with these guys, you know? And he gets involved, and, you know, here he is dealing with, you know, cosmic stuff. I love the thing of, I fought Thanos. When he has to deal with the LARPers that first time, it's like, you know, and fake fight the guy. You know, and he
the LARPing stuff was funny. And it didn't go on too long.
But seriously, yeah, it's literally he fought Thanos, and he's gonna have to act like these idiots, you know, or actually, you know, fighting him. Like it was beyond comical, you know.
Yeah,
that stuff was just absolutely great. I mean, I happen to love. I think that Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye, he does that great world weary thing. You know, the older assassin, the guy that's seen it all, you know, and there's more in his ledger that can ever make up for. But, you know, he's trying.
Yeah.
You know,
can we talk about the treatment of Ronan and that whole thing? I do like that small piece of Endgame comes back and is the background for this entire series. Is, okay, yeah, let's wrap up what happened with Ronan and all the different enemies he made as Ronan, or Ronan made, really. But that stuff is now haunting Clint, and that stuff is threatening Kate.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, basically, we don't see it. We're just hinted at it. He's 5 years he went around killing people.
Yep.
I mean, Tasha, they straight up, like, he just went off. Yeah, it's like, and fuck it. And it's interesting, you know, I did feel like, I don't know how you feel, they implied, but I really felt they left it vague of how exactly did Kingpin steer him to kill those people? Why wouldn't he have just killed Kingpin? I mean, was he just, you know, like, what was he exactly doing? I was not really clear on that. Were you?
And Kingpin knew that Ronan was going to kill them because he made sure that Kazi wasn't there that night.
Right.
Like, no. Ronan so killed.
I took it as Kingpin gave him information of people to go after, and maybe he didn't necessarily know where it was coming from initially, and he realized who it was after the fact.
Ronan wasn't really clear. Indirectly. Cleaning out Kingpin's bad guys, too.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing is, what it wasn't, I think, but maybe mistaken here, Clint was not a hired assassin. He was a straight-up vigilante going out killing people.
Sure.
I mean, Clint, as Ronan, was more Punisher than we've seen Punisher be.
My question now is, once Yelena knows that the Kingpin's involved and that...
So this is what's interesting.
That she may have gotten some bad information. Why does she? How long does it take Yelena to realize Clint wasn't responsible for?
So here's her the thing: Yelena takes an assignment to do something she wants to do anyway. That's the pitch that we see at the end of Black Widow. She's like, "All right, I'm busy. No. Oh, well, here's this. Like, all right, well, that I'm just going to go do this. I'm going to kill him, you know, because it's his fault. Natasha's dead."
So even though she knows that the Kingpin's involved, it's not like she doesn't have her kind of around there.
She doesn't care. Yeah. It doesn't enter into for her, you know, that Amelia, and by the way, I actually finally got my wife to start watching Black Widow. We watched half last night and, you know, jet lag, all that. She was tired, so we'll finish it today. But, you know, going back and looking at this whole thing of it, Yelena has this ledger, like, you know, from the young assassin, she's been killing people left and right. You know, Natasha gave her a mission. But she's sort of laughing at this whole superhero thing, you know, like she's not there yet. She's still on this road to, you know, maybe redemption, which, by the way, still speaks to, I mean, listen, I was hoping for a tag with Valentina because I got to think she's pissed.
Because you want to see the Thunderbolt set up.
Well, here's the thing. That's my question. Is she mad that Valentina manipulated her? Is she going to give Valentina the pass of, listen, a job's a job, and you might have a personal interest in the ins and outs of that. You know, anyone could have gotten wrong, you know? But that's the thing. That's exactly right. What is the Thunderbolt setup? You know, I think the Thunderbolt setup is you're going to have some characters that maybe are not straight up bad like the Dark Avengers, you know, but are, you know, morally easily ambiguous. Manipulated, you know.
John Walker.
Yeah, Yelena. Exactly. Like U.S. Agent. Yelena, you know, you know, they can be made to think. What's that?
We're going to see what Abomination does in She-Hulk.
Yes. But
A-Bomb's going to be on the team.
Well, and Abomination is an interesting point because, remember, the MCU version, very different than the 616 comic book version. The MCU version was a straight-up soldier who then gets mad with power. But, you know, I mean, he's just become a Hulk, you know.
You know, he's a cage fighter.
Yeah, but my understanding is that he's going to have the ability to shrink down, that in She-Hulk we're going to see him as Emil Blonsky.
That's cool. And maybe he powers up. I mean, we saw him powered up in Shang-Chi.
We did, but again, if he can go back and forth, that means he has more control of it. Then and the idea Wong that he's straight up... What's that?
And he and Wong seem to be friends?
Yes, but my point to you is that the idea that we're then going to be seeing that, you know... I think we can expect that this Thunderbolts thing is going to be maybe not straight up government, one of those governmental offshoots. By the way, it's very interesting that we see in Hawkeye that this, whatever Valentina is, she took a contract from a civilian.
Yes.
So it's not, you know, it's not another version of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's not necessarily Hammer, you know, but then again, maybe it is, and they're just willing to do that, you know?
So we'll see. To go back to Jim Paganelli's question, and we talked, like, I think Kingpin returns in the Echo series. I think he's going to be blind, and I think he's going to work his way back, and Daredevil's going to have some part in the Echo series. Where would we see Swordmaster again?
Swordsman. So that's the question. I mean, you know, he can pop up anywhere. You know, by the way, he could easily pop up in a Thunderbolt situation. Did we see, yeah, the guy can fight, you know? It felt to me, like personality-wise and all that, and that was fun for him. We could, you know, we're more likely to see him maybe pop up as like, all right, now, oh, let me put a costume on and go do these things.
Could
you know?
Be in the Thunderbolts? Could Swordsman be in the Thunderbolts?
He could, but I don't think that's where we see him. You know, okay. I mean, he could easily pop up in an Echo show, you know?
Well, we'll see Kate again. I mean, we talked about the Champions.
We're going to see Kate again, but as I said, you know, we went into the show wondering if that was it for Clint, and at the end, I don't feel that way. I think we see Kate and Clint together again, you know? I think they're taking their time.
When Sam Wilson comes back in Captain America 4, 3? How many Captain Americas do we have?
Civil War was 3.
4. Civil War was 3. We're going to see Sam Wilson as Captain America. Maybe Clint's a part of that.
Yeah, maybe. So, you know, so the thing is this, and we've said this in some other specials, but I'll reference it again. You know, there's two properties out there that were offshoots of Avengers, okay? That, I mean, first, you know, you had Young Avengers that we referenced before. Straight up, the team called themselves the Young Avengers. And then
later... that opening series. That opening series is awesome.
And later, there was a point where Norman Osborn had run an organization called Hammer, which had supplanted S.H.I.E.L.D. And the Avengers weren't around, so they did this thing, and they were their own Avengers. And it was basically... analogs of the Avengers dressed up as the original Avengers, but they weren't the real Avengers. So it was the Dark Avengers. They didn't call themselves that. But that's what they were. At a different point, when the Avengers weren't around, there was a team called the Thunderbolts. And ultimately, it seems to me that, you know, conceptually, there's enough crossover. I think that what they'll end up doing is Thunderbolts. Interestingly enough, Thunderbolts didn't originally have anything to do with Thunderbolt Ross. But I think that eventually, as the Red Hulk, he ended up on that team.
And he's going to put that team together.
Well, I think that he'll be part of it, whether it's is he answering to Valentina or is Valentina answering to him?
We're going to get Blonsky. We're going to get Zemo. We're going to get John Walker.
Right.
We're going to get Yelena.
Yeah.
We're going to get, I don't think Kate's on that team. I think she's on a Champions team, no. A Young Avengers yeah. team.
Right.
Who else is on your
You know, team? They might bring Yellow Jacket back.
And would we have, I don't know what the hell's going on with over at the Loki universe, but would we have female Loki?
Sylvie's a possibility too. Yeah, so we can get Sylvie and yeah, but I'm saying, and they might bring Yellow Jacket back because that would make sense.
And what's the story on Yellow Jacket? Why would you bring Yellow Jacket back?
Because he's the Ant-Man analog. That's the bad guy.
Right.
You know, the question Dan is, Gilbert, personality-wise, it doesn't said. Seem to me like that character, the
I'm
way
sorry,
they
like,
did
Geek's him. Sorry, like, Geek's I just exited
would be
the
willing
studio.
To join that team unless
I don't know what just happened.
Like a, you know, far from the other side of the road, a Suicide Squad type situation. Which Dan seemingly Gilbert. Is what you'd get with Blonsky also, with Abomination.
Dan Gilbert just said, take all my money. From all that talk that you just gave, take all my money. I accidentally did two fingers on my trackpad and it ended up launching me out of the studio. So that's fun. Facebook user. If you know the Facebook user, I found out that if you go to StreamYard and okay your Facebook account, you can actually have your name show up. A Facebook user says, maybe Dark Doctor Strange, depending on what happens in Multiverse of Madness.
I think that's an interesting idea.
That's Strange Prime. It's Strange Prime is the one that's over on... are we going to call the Multiverse of Madness Doctor Strange Strange Prime? Because that's what we've called the one that's from What If. Are they one and the same?
Maybe. That, this,
I'm going to wait to see.
We don't know. I mean, there's a visual cue that suggests it. We don't know. You know, we'll see.
Marshall Lewis has been active in YouTube, and he says, what if they did a Giant Man entrance for Ant-Man? I'd love to see more Giant Man stuff going down. I loved seeing the Trick Arrow.
Well, listen, by the way, that's
hilarious.
The Giant Man stuff is definitely, you know, as we saw from the second Ant-Man, he's getting better and better at it. It's definitely going to stay part of it. And odds are that, you know, I mean, Cassie Lang is likely to be Stature.
Yes, we're going to see Cassie Lang. I guess we're going to. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll see a lot more Cassie Lang. And
I mean, by the way, I mean, the choices are Stature's the classic version. You know, there's also potentially the Stinger version.
Mm-hmm. No, I think Cassie Lang will become Stature.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the more Young Avengers version of that character.
Right. Right.
And we'll see what Quantumania says.
Yeah. Oh, you know who else we got? We left out America Chavez.
America Chavez, who we're getting in.
And Iron Heart, and Ms. Marvel.
And we've seen footage of America Chavez in the right. Multiverse of Madness tree.
And Ms. Marvel.
We're going to see Ms. Marvel in the next
right.
Captain Marvel film, The Marvels. And then I think we're going to see Ironheart soon.
Yes, Ironheart, I think we first see in Black Panther 2.
Black Panther 2 is going to have some Ironheart in it. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
so, and then she gets.
I'd like to know more about Black Panther 2 just because I'm a big fan of maybe Atlantis showing up in some form in this MCU.
Yeah.
I'm going to move my camera real quick because the glare is starting to show up.
Okay. But the point is that there's no question that they're setting up champions. You know?
Yes. They're going to have Young Avengers.
My personal expectation, I think they'll come. They'll do Thunderbolts. I think that we'll probably see the Avengers come back together and answer to Thunderbolts.
In Captain America 3. Or Captain America 4.
I don't know if it'll be that soon.
Okay. Or maybe. You think if Ironheart is introduced in the Wakanda stuff.
Well, the Ironheart series, I think, is also like late next year, right? I mean, it's one of the...
But so when's Armor Wars? Because she has to be part of Armor Wars, wouldn't you say?
You would hope, but not necessarily. So okay. Armor Wars was a storyline that was a Tony Stark storyline that they're going to just put Rhodey in.
Right.
You know, right. And the expectation should be that it's Rhodey taking it upon himself to go after other people taking Stark tech.
And this is what I want to know. Is, are we going to get Hammer back in that series? How cool would that be?
I would expect, honestly, I expect that we would. I would be really surprised if he's not a principal bad guy in that series.
I love Justin Hammer. Yes. I think, you know, if, say what you will about Iron Man 2, Justin Hammer is always on highlight.
Great. He was great.
And Marshall Lewis says, Doctor Strange is key. Oh, there's so much that's up in the air because it's Doctor Strange, and I'm so excited about Doctor Strange. Here's a question related to Doctor Strange. I'm throwing it to you right now. This is what I've thought about. And it was kind of proposed when I saw that he was now Sorcerer Supreme in No Way Home. Does Wong survive to see the end of Multiverse of Madness?
I hope so. I mean,
it's one way to give Tony back the Sorcerer Supreme mantle.
Steven.
It's one way to give Steven Strange back.
I know they're facial hair bros and we're on the broke, you know, podcast, but
do we, I'm starting to think, this is what I think about sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, you think Wong's going to die in Multiverse of Madness?
Listen, one of the things I loved that, you know, I think we all wondered why was it Wong, you know, in the meeting at the end of Shang-Chi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not even though we'd seen him earlier, but why would he be the one? It's like, yeah, well, he's the Sorcerer Supreme, so he's the one out there doing this stuff. But that's why he probably should have been in Eternals, even though he wasn't.
You sent me an article about Multiverse of Madness that was so spoilerifically insane. I wish I hadn't read it, but it involved the Illuminati.
It's not spoilerific. It's all just rumors. So
right, but the whole idea that we're going to get that come May. We're going to know who Professor X is. We're going to know who Captain Fantastic or Mr. Fantastic is because they're going to be in an Illuminati scene in Multiverse of Madness.
I mean, it would be insane. Yeah. So again, I had to share that because it's not. It's so far out. It's not spoilers. No way to know it's true. But it's such an interesting theory idea that it might happen that I had to share that.
You know, that sounds like an end credit scene for Multiverse. That we get the introduction of the Fantastic Four.
Because
listen,
the rumor is
we're getting a little late in the game here. We're going
to
get.
We're supposed to. Fantastic Four is supposed to be the end of this phase. That's not right.
We're getting a little long in the tooth on this phase. So people introducing Reed Richards
in WandaVision, right?
In getting Reed Richards at the end of Multiverse of Madness, you heard it here first. Geekscape is not really. You didn't hear it here first, but I'm going to put money down.
But didn't we expect it in WandaVision?
Yes, and this is the money. I keep calling him Captain Fantastic. If Mr. Fantastic does not show up as a tag in Multiverse of Madness, I will give Ian Kerner another Geekscape t-shirt. No, I'll give one of the listeners a Geekscape t-shirt.
Is it going to be
Geekscape prizes? If Mr. Fantastic doesn't show up,
is it going to be the regular universe? You know,
Or like a Council of Reeds. Reed Richard?
But that's the thing. So here's the thing.
I don't think we're going to see Professor X. I think we're going to see Reed Richards.
I've heard some things that may or may not line up. Like, for instance, we may see a Professor X.
Okay.
Whether that's Stewart or McAvoy, but we may see one of them because it's a multiverse. I've heard, you know, some rumors that, you know, it's at least been pitched that we're going to get something like an interaction with Wanda as she's analyzing, you know. I think, you know, the way I interpreted that scene, that tag at the end of WandaVision, you know, she's studying the Darkhold and you throw the multiverse into it. What makes sense? She's trying to bring her kids back. Doesn't it make sense that she'd be out searching the multiverse for, you know, a universe where they lived, where they survived?
I think the kids
isn't
are
that a way to get them back?
Madness. But the actors who played her kids in WandaVision are cast in Multiverse of Madness.
We know they're going to be in it. What I'm saying is, but what does that look like?
Where do they come from? Right. Where do they come from? Yeah. So, and the question too is, do we get the new Ultra, the new Vision back?
I mean, again, he's another, by the way, another character for Thunderbolts.
The neutral Vision.
Yeah.
The blank Vision, the white Vision.
Yeah, I've had that's an interesting idea, right?
Dan Gilbert says, Ian, because you're a man with the inside track, odds are that it's being John Krasinski and Emily Blunt for Fantastic Four. I know Blunt's denied it. They both denied it. But I like that casting a lot. And John C. Reilly is the thing. Let's throw it all together. Let's make it work. Okay, Ian.
Chris Evans is a Human Torch because he nailed it.
He did. Okay, Ian, let's wrap on this. The two end tags that did not end up in... And first off, anybody complaining about the mid-credit tag on Hawkeye? Like, bah humbug, people. Like, okay, you didn't enjoy the movie.
It was so much fun, you know.
Like, shut up. Like, have some joy in your life. It's Christmas. Like, it was fun.
Sorry you didn't get to see... not pleased with me, but...
Yeah, well, too bad. Sorry you didn't get to see, like, Kang show up or something like that. But you got a fun musical number. Come on. If you don't like it, go see Morbius in a few weeks. You'll enjoy that.
As I mentioned earlier... I was hoping for Valentina. I was hoping for something that, you know, related back to stuff. I would have loved, you know, some reference on Kingpin. They left it so out, you know, so we just absolutely don't know, you know. I would love something leading to what something next. Because that's what we usually get, right?
That, yes, but that being said,
was amazing and fun and great. I was hoping there'd be a second.
The two tags that we didn't get were one in which we see the owl take the bros truck back to the owl's nest, which is morbid. Like, the owl's going to eat the bros.
Yeah, which I would have laughed.
I would have been okay with the Pym particles wearing off and having them end up in a tree, like not knowing
how to get
down.
That would have been awesome. Yeah, that would have been fun.
The second tag that we got was
that we would have
the Kingpin alive. The Kingpin's alive, and he receives the Ronin sword, which we didn't see get burned up. We saw the Ronin sword get burned, the Ronin suit get burned up, and not the sword. And he gets it with a warning from Clint saying, "Leave me and my family alone, or I'm coming after you."
Right. I would have liked that because I felt like that would have spoken to what I was saying before about what was the relationship, what was the deal there. You know, like, great, yeah, you think Clint me, but I didn't come after you, and I'll come kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you think Clinton and Wilson had a relationship while he was running? Even
I don't. I think Clint knows that Wilson manipulated him into killing, you know, people he wanted killed, Echo's father, and he realized after the fact that's what happened, you know. But I mean, listen, they were bad guys. It's not like they weren't bad guys. But why was he there? So he was manipulated to kill them right then, and he realized after the fact. And I think he looked at it as, what's the big guy? It's a guy like, you know, do I really want to take it on? Am I ready for that? You know? And he decided he wasn't, you know? So, and then things changed.
Well, Ian, we got to run.
All right.
We talked some Hawkeye for an hour. You have a lot to chew on. And I got to say, thank you to everybody who's been watching these and listening to these on the podcast apps. The Ian Kerner specials, we just did one on Spider-Man No Way Home. These are consistently the higher rated and listened to episodes of Geekscape. They shouldn't be the only thing you listen to. We just did a live on stage show. We have another Geekscape coming back next week when we come back to LA. Every Geekscape episode is a good Geekscape episode. So please tell your friends to subscribe, share Geekscape with your friends. And yeah, I love having you all join us here in the live chats here on YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch and Facebook. That always works. Dan Gilbert says, great work, fellas. Dan, I have to report, I'm sitting on our sport court. Remember the basketball court we used to play on? It's gone. This building that I'm in right now is where it used to stand. So no more basketball at my parents' house. The basketball court, the net's gone. It's gone. I'm sitting in this gazebo or whatever it is. It has like weird echoes to it. So apologize for the audio. I don't have my regular mics, but Geekscape is, you get the gist. This is free content on all the different apps for your podcasting, all the different video platforms. All I ask is that you hit the share button, share it with your friends, and subscribe. Keep the numbers climbing. They've been climbing really well. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Ian, for doing this and joining me while we're on vacation. You know, I return to LA tomorrow.
I'm on vacation.
And we'll get, you know, some more Geekscape when I do. Till then, thank you. You can follow Ian on at Ian L. Kerner on Twitter, and you can talk to him on our Facebook groups, Geekscape Forever. And just hit him up on there and keep the conversation going. Jim and you have become good friends, and so I like the activity. I like seeing that. I like seeing people come together through Geekscape. All right. Thank you so much, dude. I'll see you when we get back to LA. All right.
Sounds good. Have a safe trip.
Over and out. Don't hate, create Geekscapists.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.